But our friends can influence us. But also culture influences us. What we read, the books that we read, the TV we watch, the movies, the music, the news we consume, all of it has an influence on how we view the world. This is, David Hubbard calls it our resume of influence. That it might not be something that you put on your resume, but these are things that are written all over you as you walk through life, the things that influence you. And the question that he leaves the reader with, and the question that is posed by this passage to us as well, is who's on your resume? What's on your resume? What's influencing you? Is it culture? Is it scripture? Is it godly people? Is it ungodly people? Who's influencing you? And then he puts it, he goes even further, which really cut to my heart. It was, and who's going to be on your kids' resumes? And that's an important one for anyone with kids of any age, I will say, children of any age, no matter if they're 46 years old or 6 years old, you can still have an influence on their life and help point them in the right direction. And so the first part of this passage tells us that there is influence that ought to come from parents to kids down through generations, of pointing people to the truth, pointing people to how to live a life that is honoring to God. And the second part of this passage talks about two endings. The very first sermon we preached on this series, we saw that there's two paths we can go down, the path of God and the path of not God, the path of righteousness, the path of wickedness or sin. And in this passage, it actually presents us with the ends of those two paths. It says in verse 18 and 19, "The path of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn, shining brighter and brighter until midday. But the way of the wicked is like the darkest gloom. They do not know what makes them stumble." And what's listed ahead of that is just the same things that we have heard, saying, don't go with the wicked. Don't go the way of the foolish. Don't go the way of everybody else, but go the way that I'm telling you to go. Not the way that the Father's telling you to go, the way that God is calling you to go His way. Because the paths that we go down will start to shape us into an image. We're either being shaped into the image of God or into the image of the world. So the paths that we go down start to have an effect on us. The influences that we have in our lives, the influences that our children have in their lives will start to impact the way that they think, the way that they act. And the further down each path they go, the more they look like that end, that path. And so we are called to teach the right path. We are called to keep ourselves on the right path, whether it's applaud or whether it's blessing and happiness at times. We're called to stay on the right path. So in the end, this passage really presents us with focus. I called this sermon, oh, we got slides coming up, that's cool. I called this sermon Eyes on the Prize, because the end of this passage calls us to attention, attentiveness, to focus on what matters. Pay attention to my words, incline your ears to my sayings, do not lose sight of them. We have listen, we have look, we have set your mind on them, and we have walk in them. And the concluding part says, let your eyes always look forward. Fix your gaze straight ahead. Make a level path for your feet, and all your ways will be sure. Do not swerve to the right or the left. Turn your feet away from evil. I guess we can do this. There's listen, look, think, walk. These are the things that we focus on, the things that we listen to, listening to the Word of God, not just hearing it, but actually listening to it, applying it to our lives, looking for God's leading in our lives, dwelling on, meditating on Scripture, and then setting ourselves to walk in what He has called us to walk in, which is faithfulness to Him. And it's because our focus will direct our paths, and our paths will shape our lives. Now, of course, the good news is, for anyone here, no matter what path you're on today, because of Christ, your path can change through faith in Him. For anyone with a loved one who might be on the path of the that's shaping them more like the world, the truth of Christ can change them and put them on the right path, on God's path. And we see that in Scripture. When I think about focus, I think about a figure from Scripture. Does anybody have a guess who I think about? I think about Peter, because Peter is all over the map. And I think it's for good reason. He is all in with Jesus. He's the only one who's like, hey, Jesus, you're walking on water. Call me out of the boat and I'll walk on water too. And he gets in the water and he's walking on water and then he loses that focus. He starts to doubt and he starts to sink. Peter's the one who, when Jesus said, who do you say that I am? Who stood up and said, you are the Christ, the Son of God. And then Jesus said, you're correct. But the Son of God has to suffer and die. And Peter went, whoa, 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 whoa. You can't say that kind of thing, Jesus. Because Peter in that moment went from eyes on the prize, eyes on what Jesus had, to leaning on his former understanding of what he thought the Messiah was supposed to do and be. Peter said, Jesus, I will never leave you. I will never abandon you. And then he denied Jesus three times. Peter said, I'm not going to leave you. And then when he was asked, hey, do you know him? He said, no, three times. He lost his focus. But here's the amazing thing. At the end of the book of John, Jesus shows up and he has a conversation with Peter. And in that conversation, he says, do you love me? Peter says, yeah. And feed my sheep. Jesus says, Peter, do you love me? And Peter says, yes. Jesus asks a third time, do you love me? And it says Peter was grieved in his heart. Why? Because he remembered that he had denied Jesus three times. And in this moment, Jesus has given him an opportunity to repent of that, to undo his past, to set him back on the right path, to forgive him. And the amazing thing is, even though Peter does turn around and say, what about John? Is he going to die too? Jesus does say to Peter, Peter, I tell you, when you were young, you dressed yourself and you went wherever you wanted to go. But when you're old, you're going to stretch out your hands. Someone else is going to dress you and take you by the hand and lead you where you do not want to go, which is a confusing thing to say, but John makes it very clear. He said this so that Peter would understand by what death he was to suffer for Christ. And we know that Peter was crucified upside down when Nero persecuted the church in Rome. And that's a weird thing to be told how you're going to die. I don't know if I want to find that out. But you know what it did for Peter? When we go to the book of Acts, we see a very different Peter. A Peter who's been transformed by God, a Peter who's been transformed by the presence of the Holy Spirit in his life, transformed by the forgiveness of Christ. And maybe Peter needed to know that because his personality was such that if he was faced any sort of persecution, he would wither. But instead, he knew what Christ had in store for him. So he was able to stand up on the day of Pentecost and declare Christ to the people there boldly. He was able to go before the Sanhedrin, the council, and when they told him, hey, stop talking about Jesus, he said, no. This is all paraphrased, by the way. Don't say I'm quoting the Bible. He said, no. You got to figure out for yourself whether we're right or wrong, but as for us, we are going to continue. And then they went back and they prayed for boldness. Peter, by the end of his life, had his eyes on the prize. He had his eyes fixed firmly on where Christ was calling him. And that's what each one of us are called to do. Now, we're not going to know how we're going to die or when we're going to die. We're not given that privilege that Peter was given. But we are given the command that we are to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. We are to look to him and follow him. So the question really is just, where are you focusing today? Where are you focusing today? When I was in Haiti on my first trip, now another mission trip story, I was tasked with sharing a devotional that was on my heart one night. And I went to Philippians where Paul says, here's all these reasons why I have to boast, but I count them as rubbish. And one thing I do is I press on towards the goal that Christ is calling me heavenward towards. He says, I'm focusing, keeping my eyes on the prize. And one of the people there in the discussion afterwards said, the amazing thing about that passage is that there's good and bad things in what Paul says. And it can be so easy for us to look back at our past life door over here and rest on our accomplishments that are good, or even look back and look at all the muck and bad things and think, I am so beyond forgiveness. But when we look to Jesus, when we look to the cross, when we look to the wisdom of God revealed in Christ, we see forgiveness. We see that our best accomplishments are rubbish compared to the love of Christ. And we see that our junk, our sin, pales in comparison to the love of Christ and the forgiveness that we have in him. So if you're looking at your past, I would ask you to look to Christ, look to the forgiveness that is in the cross. And if you're living in present circumstances that have a way of clouding and fogging our focus up because present circumstances can be hard. They are right there. They are immediate. They are in our face. I would encourage you to look at how David dealt with them in the Psalms. The Psalms of Lament start this way. Why is this happening and how long is it going to happen? Then it moves into, help me God, please end this. And they always end with, but I trust the Lord. I trust him. In that short model that we read over and over again in the Psalms, we are given a model for prayer and how to deal with those immediate circumstances that seem so weighty that we can't seem to see past them, and help us to clear the fog and look forward and see Christ and continue on the path that he has called us on, the path of righteousness, the path of obedience, the path where we do mess up, but he is faithful to forgive us our sins as we confess them. And maybe you are looking to Christ, and what you need to remember is just to endure, to press on, as Paul says, towards the goal that God is calling you heavenward towards. So where are you focusing? Where are you looking? Are your eyes on the prize? Because a life of wisdom is a life of following Christ where he leads you. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you've given us this book of Proverbs that gives us wisdom. And we thank you that we can see you in the pages of Proverbs. We thank you that your wisdom is not like the wisdom of the world, that your wisdom may look like foolishness to the world. But we thank you that your wisdom is superior, supreme. We thank you that you have called us, that you have set our feet on the right path. And we pray that you would help us to stay there. Pray you would give us clarity of mind and thought to walk out what you have called us to keep our eyes focused on you so that we wouldn't swerve to the right or the left. That you would help us to endure, to press on towards the goal that you are calling us to. That when we turn to the book of Proverbs, we would see wisdom that is there to help us to honor you in our lives. Not as a way to earn your favor, but because we are a part of your family, we are your children. And it is a way to identify with you. I pray that we wouldn't look back on our own lives and rest on our own accomplishments, our own good things, or dwell on the bad things and feel unlovable. Pray we'd remember the forgiveness that is in the cross. Pray for anyone who's dealing with their immediate circumstances that are so in their face that it's hard to look past, that you would give them faith and trust that you will see them through, that you would help lift the fog so that they can focus on Christ and continue to walk in the path that you have set them on. We thank you for your amazing love. We thank you for the wisdom of following you. And we pray that you would give us the endurance to keep our eyes on the prize and press on towards what you have called us to. In your name, amen.